ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायं मुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती युत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। नमः पङ्कजनाभाय, नमः पङ्कजमालिने, नमः पङ्कजनेत्राय, नमस्ते पङ्कजाङ्घ्रिये। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Verse number 52. Nayasya svaha parayiti vitteshvatmani vabhida sarvabhuta sama shanta सवतोत्तमः। नयस्य स्वः पर इति वित्तेष्वात्मनि वाभिदा सर्वभूतः समशान्तः स वै भागवतोत्तमः। नयस्वः पर इति वित्तेष्वात्मनि वाभिदा सर्वभूतः समशान्तः स वै भागवतोत्तमः। Na, there is not, of yasya, of whom, swapara iti, mine and someone else's, vitteshu, about his property, Atmani, about his body, Va, or Bhida, by thinking in terms of duality. Sarva Bhuta, to all living beings, Samaha, equal, Shantaha, peaceful, Saha, he, why, indeed, Bhagavatottamaha, the best of devotees. Translation by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When a devotee gives up the selfish conception by which one thinks, this is my property and that is his, and when he is no longer concerned with the pleasures of his own material body or indifferent to the discomforts of others, he becomes fully peaceful and satisfied. He considers himself simply one among all the living beings who are equally part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a satisfied Vaishnava is considered to be at the highest standard of devotional service. Purport. The vision described by the phrase Sarva Bhuta Sama, seeing all living entities equally, does not include one's vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya has quoted from the Harivamsa as follows. Na kvapi jivam vishnutve samashrutau moksha evava. Under no circumstances should one consider the living entity equal to Lord Vishnu, either in conditioned life or in liberation. The impersonal speculative philosophers are fond of imagining that although in our present illusion we appear to be individual entities, at liberation we shall all merge into God and be God. Such wishful thinkers cannot reasonably explain how the omnipotent God should arrive at the embarrassing position of having to enter a yoga studio, pay weekly fees, press his nose and chant mantras to regain his divinity. As stated in the Vedas, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman. The individuality or plurality of living entities is not a product of material existence. The word Nityanam, denoting the plurality of eternal entities, clearly indicates that the living entities are eternally individual parts and parcels of the Lord, who is the singular unique entity described here as Ekaha. In the Bhagavad Gita 1.21, Arjuna said to Krishna, Ratam sthapaya me Achyuta. My dear Achyuta, please place my chariot between the enemies, between the armies. This body is also ratha, a vehicle, and therefore the best policy is to request the infallible Lord to take charge of our conditioned body and guide us on the path back to the kingdom of God. The word Achyuta means the infallible or one who never fails. Learned or sane human beings will not entertain the silly notion that the omnipotent, omniscient God has slipped and fallen because of Maya. No amount of wishful thinking can erase our eternal servitorship at the lotus feet of the Lord. This fact is stated by the Lord Himself in the Varaha Puran. Naivam Vayanu Manvantavyam Jivat Maham Iti Kvachit Sarvair Gunair Susampannam Daivam Mam Gyatum Arhasi. You should never think me one of the ordinary living entities in the Jiva category. In fact, I am the reservoir of all opulences and godly qualities, and therefore you should understand that I am the Supreme Lord. According to Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam does not forbid using a particular object in the Lord's service, since a devotee is free to use anything favorable for serving Lord Krishna. This acceptance of favorable objects in the service of Krishna is called Yukta Vairagya, as stated by Srila Rupa Goswami, Nirbande Krishna Sambande. One should be attached for Krishna's sake, never for one's own sake. If one interprets this verse to indicate that one should not exercise control over any material object, even if it is favorable for serving Krishna, one falls into the bad understanding called Phalgu Vairagya or immature renunciation. Great kings such as Maharaj Yudhishthir and Maharaj Parikshit engaged the entire earth, and other Vaishnavas have engaged the entire universe in the service of Krishna. But they completely gave up the sense of their personal proprietorship. That is the point made in this verse. Just as one becomes very much concerned about any pain in one's own body, one should be concerned with bringing the conditioned souls to the platform of devotional service so that all of their suffering will be banished forever. That is the actual purport of not distinguishing between one body and another. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sahavadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakhanvitam Shyam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So we are on this 52nd verse of the second chapter, and before beginning, I would like to briefly recount our flow. Sometimes when you go to a big campus, it's a huge sprawling campus and there are many junctions. So at certain points you have this board where they give you the plan of the whole campus, and there is a small letter captioned there which says, "You are here." So in the same way, let's just try to recollect, because Bhagavatam is so huge and vast, it is like a big maze, and it has such wonderful jewels in it that sometimes we tend to get lost in the details. So just to put us back in the perspective, King Nimi meets the nine Yogendras, that is the title of this chapter. Actually, this chapter begins with a question by King Vasudeva. He is questioning Narad Muni, "Please describe pure devotional service which frees one from all kinds of fears." And Narad Muni, he says, the same question was asked by King Nimi to the nine Yogendras. And who is Nimi? He is the king of Videha. To trace his origin, to trace the origin of the nine Yogendras, we go back to Swayambhu Manu, whose son was Priyavrat, and whose son was Agnidra, whose son was Nabhi, and Nabhi's son was Rishabdev, was an incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Rishabdev had 100 sons, and the eldest of his son was Bharat Maharaj, after whom this country and this entire planet is named as Bharat Varsha, and he had 9 other, all of them were rulers. Then there were the 9 Yogendras, the wise sons of Lord Rishabdev, who were pure devotees. And then there were 81 Brahmana priests, the other sons, were the 81 Brahmana priests, or they were practicing Karma Kanda. So this way he had these 100 sons, and out of those 100 sons, the 9s who were pure devotees, they are the 9 Yogendras. And these 9 Yogendras are Kavi Havir Antariksha, Prabuddha Pipalayana, Avirhotra Drumila, Chamasa Karabhajana. In the present context, to the question asked by King Nimi, the first question that King Nimi asks is, what is the ultimate good for the soul? And the first of the Yogendras, Kavi, he answers that Bhagavad Dharma, or the process of devotional service to the Supreme Lord, is the ultimate good for all the souls. Of course, a lot of explanation is there, but just to summarize. And the second question that King Nimi is posing is, what are the religious principles, that is, what is dharma? What is swabhava, that is, natural proclivities? What is behavior, that is, achara? What is vakya, that is, speech? And what are symptoms, that is, lakshana, of the Vaishnavas who are pure devotees, that is, the Bhagavatottama, who are the pure devotees of the Lord? And in answer to that, Havir, the second of the 9 Yogendras, is now replying, and he begins by first classifying the devotees into 3 categories to explain all these points. How to recognize the devotee? So what is the natural proclivity? What is his behavior? How does he speak? What are the symptoms and of a pure devotee, and all these aspects? So he classifies them as Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama, that is, neophyte, medium and the pure devotee. And he explains all these points, the symptoms of a pure devotee. He explains the stages. And then, yes. So we see that a majority of the population are actually fruitive workers. Therefore, out of the 100 sons of Rishabdev, 81 were practicing Karma Kanda, guiding people on the path. Actually, Bhagavatam does not encourage fruitive work, but at the same time, the Vedic philosophy is so broad-based that it takes everybody in its flow. Therefore, even the fruitive workers, that is, those who work for profit, even they have been given a path by which they can gradually elevate themselves to the level of pure devotional service. And therefore, 81 of King Rishabdev's sons, they are guiding people on the path of gradually elevating themselves. But the intelligent among those who gradually evolve from that stage, they rise and take to spirituality, that is, service to Vishnu. That is, they come to the level of devotional service, and then they cross over the ocean of material existence and go back to the kingdom of God. That is Bhagavad Dharma. So King Nimi now is very eagerly hearing all the beautiful answers that has been explained by the nine Yogendras here in this, on the 50s. So now, from verse number, I believe, 48, yes, 255 are the answers of Havir. And here, I think, yes, 1 minute. Yeah. In verse number 45, Havir explains, one of the nine Yogendras, that even while senses are locked with the sense objects, one is undisturbed by the sense objects, and his consciousness remains fixed in the Supreme, is a Bhagavatottama. He is describing the qualities, the lakshana of a pure devotee. Then in verse number 49, it is said that despite miseries, one's consciousness is still fixed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is, even when the senses are engaged, he does not lose sight of the Lord. Even when he is beset with miseries, even then his consciousness is fixed in the Supreme Lord. And in verse number 15, he explains that the pure devotee is not agitated by profit, lust, worship or prestige. That is described as puja, labha, pratishtha. These factors which sway people away from the path of devotion do not agitate a pure devotee. Verse number 51, the one which was done the day before, explains that a pure devotee, despite his high birth or education, does not fall victim to pride. And in the present verse 52, where we are today, it is explained that one of the outstanding features of a pure devotee is that he is fully peaceful and satisfied. So there are, in today's words, there are three important concepts which are prominently described. First is, it is explained that one has to rise above me and mine. That is the secret to be peaceful. The minute one is trapped in the concept of I, me and mine, janasya moho yam aham mameti, then what happens? One begins to compete. It is mine and yours. One begins to distinguish. The second point that has been discussed is, view all equally and learn to be satisfied. Otherwise, one always feels somebody has more than me, I have less, or I am better than the others. So therefore, that concept also one has to overcome. So the idea is to cooperate and not to compete. And Prabhupada beautifully brings out one very important, Prabhupada, that is the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, have very beautifully brought out the concept of Yukta Vairagya in the purport, which is a solution to so many of the problems. And ultimately the conclusion is, the significance of Arjuna asking Krishna to place the rath in between the two armies is to demonstrate that just as he is riding on a rath, the soul is riding on the chariot of the human body, and the wisest thing for a person to do is hand over the reins of one's chariot, of one's life, to Krishna. Just as Arjuna is guided by Krishna. So each one of us, if we allow ourselves to be guided by Krishna, then we are in the safest position. Now, taking up, let us briefly discuss about the first concept. The first concept is, okay, just to bring the whole thing in one composite picture, I recollect one very beautiful conversation that took place between His Holiness Raghunath Swami and one of His disciples, yes. So, she was staying abroad and she came here, and when she met Maharaj, she was in tears. And Maharaj asked her, "Why are you crying?" She said, "Maharaj, I have everything. Everything is going fine for me. A beautiful house, nice children, nice husband, money, even a devotee circle and association. But I don't have your association. And that of the devotees of this temple, I miss them very badly." So in answer, Maharaj pacified her with two very simple points, which is very relevant to today's discussion. First, he says, nothing, even the best experience, will last forever. Things keep moving, situations keep changing in this world. So your best days will surely go. Change is the constant feature of this world. So do not be attached. It was a very wonderful instruction which Maharaj gave. Life is a flow, take it as it comes, but never get attached. Second point was, this is very important and useful for each one of us. He said, if you are not happy with what you have, you will never be happy with whatever you have. It was such a wonderful statement. So in short, what Maharaj said is, be satisfied. Be satisfied with what you have. And this is exactly today's topic of discussion. One of the symptoms of a pure devotee is to be peaceful and satisfied. So, taking up the first point, how to become peaceful, we have this beautiful shloka from the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, verse number 8, teachings of Lord Rishabhdev. Pumsastriyamitu nibhavametad tayor mitho hridaya granti mahu ato graha kshetra su tapta vittair janasya mohoyam aham ameti. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusion and thinks in terms of I and mine. Sex attraction leads to attachment to body, family, property, wealth, etc. Draws one deeper into illusion and distracts one from the goal of human life. That is, the goal of human life is God realization, Bhagavat Sakshatkar. And that happens along with that simultaneously. Also, the other thing happens, and that is self-realization, Atma Sakshatkar. These two go hand in hand. So here, one word is used. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts, one becomes attracted to his body. So there is a knot that is tied in the heart. And Bhagavatam directly hits out at this point, gives a solution to this. It is canto 1, verse number 2, no, chapter number 2, verse number 21. Vidyate hridaya granthis chidyante sarva samshayah क्षियन्ते चास्य कर्माणि दृष्ट एवात्मनीश्वरे. सो वॉट इज द बेनिफिट ऑफ रीडिंग भागवतम? वॉट इज द बेनिफिट ऑफ हियरिंग द ग्लोरीज ऑफ द लॉर्ड, ऑफ हियरिंग द पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ द प्योर डिवोटीज? इट डायरेक्टली अनटाइज दिस नॉट, फ्रीज वन फ्रॉम मटीरियल एग्जिस्टेंस. Only Bhagavatam, pure discussion of the pure, the activities of the pure devotees and the discussion of the activities of the Supreme Lord can break this knot. It is a very, very heavy knot which no human effort can untie. Therefore, we have to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And our Acharyas have so kindly given us this wonderful process of Shravanam, hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord. Just like on a regular basis, to treat the disease of this body, we take medicine in small doses. In the same way, by regularly hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord and His pure devotees, the result is it purifies the heart. The result is it purifies the soul and releases us from this entanglement of material clutch or material existence. And there is another one beautiful shloka in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse number 10. Vitaragavaya krodha manmana mam upashrita bahavo jnana tapasa pota madbhava magataham. It says, give up attachment. Again, it comes to the same point. It's attachment. Attachment is the root cause of our remaining glued to this material existence. So, vita raga. Raga means attachment. Bhaya krodha. Give up these things. So, but to be attached is the natural tendency of this mind, human mind. Just as a monkey is always holding something, it cannot remain without holding something. That is the nature of the monkey. Similarly, the mind is also like a monkey. So when this mind, which is like a monkey, it needs something to hold on to. So therefore, the Acharyas are telling us, transfer the attachment of the mind from the objects of this world to the Supreme Lord and to the devotees of the Lord. So that process of transference can happen by the process of hearing. When you regularly hear Bhagavad Katha, then automatically your attachment for the Lord and for His devotees increases, and that goads you to the right path. So you can rise from attachment to the body, rise above illusion, and become attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. There you will be peaceful. Then we can take up the discussion of the second concept. But before that, I think we will just take up this conception of Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya is been emphasized in this purport, and that is one of Prabhupada's greatest gift to the disciples and to people at large. Yukta means to connect to Krishna, and Vairagya means to be detached from the material objects. So detach from the material objects and connect to Krishna. The same thought is flowing here. And to explain this, one simple illustration is given. Generally it's spoken quite often, and many must have heard about this. That is, when a householder sees that his wife is struggling hard at home and she has lot of responsibilities to cater to, so he will bring a maid to help her. Now that comparison here is given, the householder is the individual soul, wife is compared to the supreme goal, Lord Krishna, and that maid is to the facilities that are available in this world, the material facilities available. So when the maid is brought home, the maid is brought home to help the wife. Similarly, the material facilities are meant to serve the Lord. But when the soul, instead of focusing on that point of serving the Lord, becomes attached to the maid, if the householder becomes attached to the maid, then there is total chaos and confusion. So, in this world, sometimes people, in the course of their activities, get so engrossed with these material facilities that they forget the real goal of human life. It is not to enjoy these facilities. The maid has not been brought into the house for the householder to enjoy the maid, but the maid has been brought into the house so that she can assist the wife and the house can run properly, so that the supreme goal of serving the Lord is fully satisfied, is fully taken care of. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a revolutionary guru. Though he was a Naishtika Brahmachari, a person who was absolutely renounced, but at one point of time, he rode in an ambassador car. At that time, ambassador is today's Mercedes, because it is in the early 1900s. He rode in an ambassador car with coat and boot, and even arranged to serve some meat to the British authorities of his time to give them the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and highlight the work of the mission. So this is a classic example of Yukta Vairagya. He did not say, I am a sannyasi, I will not travel by car. He did not say, I will not wear these Western clothes. He did everything just to impress the British, because that is what will make some meaning to them. If you sit under a tree in a forest and speak something, they may not be impressed. But for him, he was satisfied with that. But then he utilized all these facilities, not for himself. He was never attached to all these things. He is the last man who is going to serve meat. But why he did that? He did that just to promote the mission so that a vast majority of the population can get contact to Krishna and ultimately realize the goal of their life. Similarly, Prabhupada was asked by one of the correspondents of a newspaper. He says, you are a Swami, why are you flying in an airplane? Because in India there is a concept that a sannyasi should not cross the oceans. So what did Prabhupada say? He says, I am taking an airplane to bring back those of you who are rushing to hell at jet speed. So therefore, Prabhupada traveled the world 14 times over in the last 12 years of his life to establish 108 temples across the globe and to internationalize the message of Gita. He had already internalized the message of Gita. The mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was internalized in Srila Prabhupada, but he took this step to internationalize what was already internalized. That was his greatness. So again, he demonstrates what is Yukta Vairagya. That is, utilizing the facilities given by material nature to serve the Supreme Lord. And now, let us come to this point to view all equally. Here, very much great care is taken by the devotees to explain, equality does not mean to equate God with man. One has to keep that difference intact. That is what is mentioned in the purport, the details given by Srila Madhvacharya and by the other eminent personalities. Never try to equate man with God or God with man. In fact, Prabhupada very often uses the term rascal, and sometimes people are shocked. He is a saintly person, why is he using such words? And he chastises people, says he is a rascal. So people were wondering, why is he using such strong words? But what is the meaning of the word rascal? The meaning of the word rascal simply is when you try to elevate an ordinary human being to the status of God, or you try to pull down God to the status of an ordinary person. That is the meaning of the word rascal. Krishna will not rest, and the earlier verse also explains this point. Pride is one thing that God will never tolerate in his pure devotee. And to purify a person, Krishna takes particular steps just to crush the pride of each one of us, because that is one stumbling block which is stopping us from seeing him, from going to him. So he is facilitating us. So whenever we have problems in life that is so very badly crushing our pride, understand it is a great blessing by the Lord. He is facilitating us to go closer to him. Krishna will not rest till one's pride and ego is crushed to a fine dust, because that is what keeps us away from him. He is more eager that we go back to him. Out of ignorance, we may be happy to enjoy this world, especially when things go favorably. Just as a parent wakes up a sleeping child, Krishna wakes us up. He wants to play with us, engage in loving reciprocation with us. That loving reciprocation of Krishna is what we describe as satisfaction. When a jiva experiences that it is that, then that is the pinnacle of happiness, anandam. No experience can surpass that. This verse further emphasizes, though others are all equally part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Never ever one of those equals. So this is what the Varaha Puran says, that never confuse the supremacy of the Lord with the conception of equality. The conception of equality is we are all equally dear to the Lord, and the Lord is equally disposed to each one of us. But the Lord is the Supreme Personality. Feeling one with the Lord is that satisfying intimacy to know that he is the protector and loves us equally. Gives a sense of security. It is hope-giving. It does not let us think less of yourself, even though you may be insignificant. Also, it highlights the compassion of the Lord for every soul. Nobody is too fallen to receive his mercy. When one experiences and becomes conscious of that compassion of the Lord, then love for the Lord simply erupts like a lava from a volcano. Such is the quality of a pure devotee. So this particular verse also describes the concept of the relationship of the soul and the super soul. So the soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and the Lord is the Supreme, the whole. So while I was contemplating on these points, a few thoughts came and I put it down in a way that could be expressed: whole and the part. You are the soul, God is the whole. Love him and serve him. To love him and serve him is your true goal. You are his part that can't go apart. Play then your part till you depart. Be a small part of Krishna's big plan. Krishna is God, fully divine. Rack not your brain, fret not your mind. His love and his care is sweet and sublime. His form and his name are one and the same, 16 in number of unlimited fame. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Packed in these names, both whole and the soul, are at once both different and yet still the same. Same in their nature, but different in stature. The Lord is the master and the soul his servitor. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Are there any questions? Otherwise, we can end the matter. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.